Everyone experiences stress in some form, especially in 2020. Pandemics, elections, wildfires, protests, riots, homeschooling, increased sanitization procedures, and that's all on top of the usual stress of having to run a profitable practice. While stress isn't listed among the top leading causes of death in America, many well-respected studies link stress to a variety of ailments, including heart disease, stroke, and cancer. Depression and anxiety, which afflict millions of Americans, can be caused or exacerbated by stress. Stress can trigger flare-ups of asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, and even irritable bowel syndrome. The key is to find a way to relieve your tension that doesn't add to the problem. But sometimes just thinking about embarking on a program of stress control can be stressful. If only there was an easy way to relax, reboot, and revitalize. There is, and we'll tell you all about it on today's show. You may have seen today's guest in the Wall Street Journal, People, Entrepreneur, and Inc. magazines, or ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Discovery Channel. Dr. Patrick Porter is head of mind-based studies at Quantum University and the founder of BrainTap, leaders in brainwave entrainment technology. Dr. Porter, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard. Great to be here.
Yeah, so you're at a conference now with real people. I think that's awesome to hear, and I can't wait to start going and meeting new people again. How's it going over there?
It's going well. They're making us wear a mask, which, you know, I guess that's what you have to do. But they seem to be all open and positive. And, you know, it's good to see people back together again, socializing.
Yeah, getting back to normal, I think, is everyone's looking forward to that. Absolutely. So you have a really fascinating product, and it really helps people with stress. There couldn't be a better time for someone to look into ways to help with their stress. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? How does it help with personal health and stress?
Yeah. Well, I think mostly if you can kind of think of your nervous system as a switch, a lot of people get switched on to their stress response, what we like to call the survivor brain. And we need a way to switch that off to what we call the thriving brain. And it's kind of hard to do that without some kind of technology. You know, our ancestors would have, maybe they would be around the circle dancing, and maybe they'd have a drum circle, something to get them out of their state after a day of hunting and gathering. You know, now we have, you know, we're being bombarded in the stress response we have, our body's getting locked into this, what we call neurological lock. So we have to have a way to do that. We're doing that with light, sound, and vibration. So we can trigger the biological system of our body through technology. And that's really what I've been spending my life doing since the 80s, since I got involved with this, is how do we get people to get into a relaxed state? Now we have science, of course, that can prove it. When we first started, there was no science. We just felt good. You know, so now we can back it up with science.
Yeah, so you've been doing it since the 80s. So it's going on 30, 40 years that you've been in this field. That's amazing. So how did the idea of BrainTap begin?
Well, it actually, to begin with, my dad was a seminar leader, but it all started because I was actually the son of an alcoholic. My dad got help from, so a couple of the church members came by the house and they invited him to a relaxation seminar. And they used a sound. So it wasn't meditation like we might think. It was all done through technology. So I've always been involved with some form of technology that shifts the way our brain thinks. And then I was fortunate to be involved with a group called Light and Sound Research, and we started researching how can we alter brain states for pain control. It wasn't really for what we're doing now that much. We still do some pain control. That's what I'm here at this doctor's convention for, because if you can get your brain out of that high stress state, you can be in a non-pain state. Pain only happens in one brain wave called beta. So really? If we can train the brain out of that, you can experience pain-free surgeries or a lot of times people get what they call phantom pain even after an accident.
Yeah.
And so we can help resolve that with the BrainTap technology. And I've been evolving it. This new technology, actually 5 years ago, decided to put it all into one headset. It used to be multiple devices. You have to do it one time, a lot of cables and wires. And I just decided, let's put it in one headset. And now with the technology of the smartphones and smart devices, we can deploy it literally all over the world with just a click of a button through an app program.
I know phones have just changed everything, haven't they? Yes. So can you talk about more about how it actually relieves stress?
So let's think about our ancestors. How would they get up in the morning? They would wake up in their huts or in their teepees or just in the open air. The light from the sun would wake them up. They would go and about their business. Well, how did you wake up this morning? If you're like 99% of America, you had an alarm clock and it jolted you out of a deep slumber. And that's not good, because the first thing that happened is when you set that alarm clock, you had anticipatory stress, and that altered your sleep patterns. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to use light, specifically tuned LEDs that are using the same light frequency we would have at sunrises and sunset. We know that these lights actually, through research, will even reset the gut biome, which means our body, our biological system will work better just being exposed to this light.
The light is affecting the gut biome? I mean, that's fascinating. I've only heard of, obviously, probiotics doing anything with that.
Right. So what it is every cell of our body has something called chromophores in them. So think of it like photocells, like when we're getting light from the sun and we're charging batteries, but the batteries in this case are our cells, our mitochondria. And if we have that mitochondrial health because of light, lasers do this too. So low-level light therapy or lasers, we're using retinal flashing because our eyes are not just attached to our brain. Our eyes are brain matter. And through something called photobiomodulation, we can take that light through vasodilation and blood flow and bring that light directly into the brain and start to heal the brain at the source instead of going the roundabout way. I mean, nutrition is great, but you still have to have a delivery system. And so that sleep that I was talking about is so important. So what BrainTap does, it imitates a cycle of sleep. So imagine you could compress a night's sleep into 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes. It's not the full amount of sleep, but the brain and the body go through a cycle. When you're going through the cycle of sleep, these different brainwave states that we go into, let's say we start at beta, we go through alpha and theta and then into delta, which is deep sleep, and then back out again. During a normal night's sleep, you will do that anywhere between 6 to 8 times or more during the night. Each time you do that, when you slip in and out of these different brainwave states, your brain, the most powerful pharmacy on earth, is triggering neurotransmitter production. That happens in the gut. So, you know, your brain tells the gut what to do, but the gut does the work. There's more neuron connections in your gut than there are in the brain in your head. In
one Which thing just that fact, I wonder how many people know that. That's so fascinating.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Always abusing the gut constantly.
Yeah. And they think that our brain in our head is almost like a slave unit, like the laptops that have to use the cloud for processing power. But the real trainer, let's say, or the real programmer of our biological system is in our heart. We have a 40,000 neutrino cells, which means we have brain cells in our heart. And that tells our both of our other brains what to do. It tells our brain in our head, and it also tells our body. And that's why there's technology now called heart rate variability, which a lot of people will know about. It's on our watches now. It's on our smart devices. But what they don't know is that heart rate variability is showing, if we get stressed out, how quickly do we recover? It's not that we're not going to get stressed anymore. It's if we can recover from that stress, then we have really great heart rate variability, which means it's varied. If we don't, like we all know the person that we go, I can't imagine Jim dying. He was so low keyed. He was so relaxed. Well, Jim should have got upset every once in a while, you know, because we only thrive. There's a saying that says our pleasure is in our comfort zone, but our growth is in our stress zones. So we need
to. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So if we are, let's say that when we exercise our bodies, we need to stress them out, you know, to get muscle growth. Mm-hmm. With our brain, that's the same thing. So how we're going to do the brain training, when we call it brain entrainment now, but what happens is the light from the sun. So we'll go back to how we mimic nature. Mm-hmm. How our ancestors would go to sleep is the sun would go down. We'd go, hey, we better get back to the tribe because we don't want to be out here in the woods getting eaten for dinner. So we run back to the tribe. We sit down by the campfire. We tell stories. When the campfire goes out, we go to bed. So we have this gradual time for our brain to relax. Unfortunately, most people, what they do is they have all the lights on in the house. They're watching television, maybe even the broadcast news, which is, I always tell people, if you're too happy, just turn on the news.
I know, watching the news right before you go to sleep, that is so terrible. And I catch myself doing it all the time.
Yeah, especially now because we want to know, you know, what's happening. It's a crazy time.
Oh, right.
So, but that's not good. We should watch our news earlier in the day, and if we watch it at all. And but the whole thing is that our body is meant to gradually decline and go into sleep. So what we do with the brain tap, we're going to have that flickering response, that eye flickering, which we call retinal flashing.
Yeah.
Is your eyes are closed, but it's going to mimic the light from the sun as it goes across the horizon and goes to sleep. So the brain is going to go through that cycle. As it's doing that, as it goes through alpha, for instance, it's going to create acetylcholine. As it goes into theta, it's going to create GABA. As it goes into delta, it's going to create serotonin. And if it goes through those cycles enough, we're going to have our neurotransmitter bank account's going to be full for the day. Now, wow. The thing is with that bank account, we have to use it during that day or it just gets flushed out and the next day's neurotransmitters arrive because that we don't store them. That's the downside of SSRIs when people take the medicines that are so popular out there. The reality is, and there's a really good book called The Suggestible You that shows the placebo effect is now up to 40%, which means I could give you a sugar pill and it would work 40% of the time instead of giving you some kind of SSRI that would be for mood disorders.
Yeah.
In fact, there's no prescription on the market that beats the placebo.
Really? So, I mean, that's a very fascinating statement. Okay.
That's why everything is based on that. So if you think about that, that's why people like Joe Dispenza wrote a book called You Are the Placebo. And, you know, if we can use it, belief is such a big factor. But what I like about using light, sound, and vibration is it takes no belief on your part. If we were to teleport ourselves to Hawaii, let's say, and we're sitting on the beach, we would be relaxed because the ocean itself has a frequency response of 10 hertz frequency. That's theta. Our body is going to naturally start to create acetylcholine. We're going to love the ocean because we have a biological reaction that does that. If we want to meditate, like we've all seen pictures of gurus in the Himalayas or in Nepal meditating, and everybody thinks, wow, if I'm going to meditate, I've got to go to the mountains. Well, the reason that's so popular is the fact that if we were on a spaceship and we were coming toward Earth and we could measure the frequency of the Earth, which we can do now, we can measure it. The Earth resonates at a frequency of 0.01 and 100 hertz frequency.
Okay.
The human brain, Richie, also does that. And what it is through a science called frequency following response, we are always matching our environment. So if we're in the mountains, it's 7.8 hertz frequency, happens to be the Schumann frequency or the Earth frequency, they call it. But it's not that way all over the Earth, but it is in the mountaintops. Our body naturally goes to theta, which turns on something called the parasympathetic system, or we call the thriving brain, which creates health and healing. So the brain tap mimics nature to do that. So that people start to experience this. And because we are creatures of light, sound, and vibration, if we took everyone on Earth today and we took all of them that is solid, every piece of you that is solid, every piece of everybody else that's truly solid in nature, we could fit everybody in a thimble. That means that we are mostly space. We are information.
That's true.
We're vibrating so we can see each other. And we have these things called biophotons so that we can learn and educate each other. This all happens through light exchange. And so we're using what nature has provided us, but we're mirroring it. That's why a lot of people consider what we do biohacking, but we were doing it before Dave Asprey coined that term, because we didn't know about that then. We were doing it basically because we wanted a way to use biofeedback and get people to relax. And what happens is when somebody's in pain, it's very hard to make your hands warm, for instance. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had a headache, one of the things we would teach people is just visualize your hands getting warm, because the moment your hands get warm, you'll be out of pain, because your hands only become warm when you have alpha activity in the brain. So that's called biofeedback. So we can do that. All the breathing techniques, like people might know, like Wim Hof and these different people who teach about breathing techniques. Once you start breathing, your brain goes into coherence, means that it's balanced.
So this is kind of the monks in the Himalayas that are able to stay out there and start having kind of
they have pictures of the monks in Wisconsin. They had them go outside and they're doing their meditation and breathing techniques in below zero weather, and they throw ice cold blankets on them, and within 5 minutes those blankets are dry because they're generating energy.
Incredible.
They truly tune into it, because we're biological beings. We're energy beings. And so we transmit and receive energy all the time. It's just that The foods we eat can diminish that. The beverages we drink can diminish it. The thoughts we think can diminish it. But if we line all those things up, so we're eating healthy, we're thinking healthy, we have physical activities, our bodies can do some magical things.
Wow. So this technology isn't new. You've just miniaturized it. It's proven. You've been researching it for many years now.
Yeah, well, let's see. Every generation has used technology. Yeah. Let's think about what they call a Jyoti meditation. That's where you visualize, you sit in front of a candle and you meditate to the candle. You're looking at the candle and you breathe and you just make the candle move a little bit. This is a meditation technique for learning how to go into a deeper state. Well, candles happen to flicker at 10 hertz frequency again. So while sitting there visualizing the candle, you're going into, so what we can do with LEDs now is we can mimic that through LEDs, because it's really the brain in its frequency matching technology of our brain. We're always matching them. And we do this even with people. You know, when you're around people that think like you, that act like you, you're on the same sports team or whatever, you start to resonate together. They call it, there's that unseen force, you know, that people have. They go, if you're playing football or basketball or any other sport, they go, they've got the mo right now. You know, they've got that unfair advantage, whatever that is, and it's really the energy that happens because of people having that cohesion or that, and our bodies do the same thing. Once we line all those things up, we start creating that energy, and that energy comes in the form of light, sound, and vibration.
Lights. So that's the same. If you meet someone and you feel the opposite way, that's kind of what's going on. You guys just are not coherent for whatever reason.
Right. And if we listen to that more often, we'd be right. There's a book by Maxwell Gladwell, that wrote the book called Blink. And he shows in his studies that our first impression is usually right. You know, so if we follow that intuition that we have, our bodies know, because the field, our heart rate, for instance, what I was talking about, they can measure heart rate now. There's a camera that we took when we were visiting Dr. Oz. This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we brought a company with us. They had a camera that could measure heart rate variability for up to 18 feet.
18 feet.
Yes. So you have a magnetic field. Your heart is magnetic, but your brain is electrical. Mm-hmm. So with your brain, we have to use something that's right against the skull of the brain so we can measure those electric currents. But the heart is magnetic and can be measured, usually they say 2 to 3 feet away, but these people have designed a camera. And the reason that's important for, like, let's say the elderly, if they get out of bed and they fall. Now, if you had that even in the dark, you would know if they're safe. Or if you had a baby for sudden death, you know, crib syndrome.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that application.
That's why they created those. But what we know with heart rate variability is one of the tools we use. It's also a sign of health. If you have good variability, you're healthy. If you don't, then you're unhealthy.
That's incredible. So when you're using this device, how long does it take for you to feel any effects from it? How do you know that it's working?
Well, most people will feel it right away, actually. Really? They might feel their body becoming like very tingly, very light, or very heavy. A lot of people have a sense of time distortion. Like they might say, wow, that seemed like I just started. And some people say, that seemed like it lasted forever. Because as soon as you get out of beta, which is our wide awake state where we're talking right now, you get into that alpha theta state, there's no time there anymore. And Einstein said it best. He said, when you're around a beautiful woman for an hour, it seems like a minute. If you're sitting on a hot stove for a minute, it seems like an hour. You know, so it's really, what are you doing? That's what makes time, the passage of time, go by.
Yeah, I've noticed when you're really working on something you're passionate about. I remember grinding granite countertops when I was in college, and that'll put you in a meditative state, because it's a very monotonous thing. You're kind of just in your own world, and time does just disappear.
I spent a lot of time in detention going to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And you had to watch the clock. And I swear that clock was running backwards. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my whole career up to through high school is like that. It's just forever. I felt like I was there forever.
So, I mean, we can, the way that our brain works is not necessarily the way we've all been told, because the way we learn isn't the way we've been told. 95% of what runs our life is our subconscious, or our what I like to call the other than conscious part of your mind.
Yeah.
Our conscious mind, but most people are thinking they can change their conscious mind. And this is the other piece of what we do with Brain Tap, is that we have something called biophotons. Every one of us does. Okay. They now know, to give you an example, there's something called epigenetics. We all have this genetic makeup of who we are.
Yeah.
And in 2003, the scientists mapped out our genome. We've all heard that. But the problem is they only mapped out 1%. And they said the 99% was junk. It's like, no, I don't think so.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So they didn't really map the human genome. What they did was they mapped 1% of it.
Yeah.
And of that 1%, 20%, we can't change. That's fixed. It's like my hairline. No matter how much I meditate, I'm probably not going to grow my hair back.
So only 1/5 of 1% is totally stuck.
Right.
Oh, that's incredible.
What we know is every 40 seconds, the four strands of our DNA emit a light pulse.
Yeah.
Every 40 seconds. And that light pulse regrades that 99% junk DNA. And it tells us who we're going to be tomorrow. So when you think about it, every second of every minute of every hour of every day, you are a different person biologically, because our body is changing based on the foods we consume, the thoughts we think, the people we hang out with, the environment we're in. And so many people are so, you know, we can't change our heredity, let's say, that 20%.
Yeah.
But we can change everything else. You know, we're not destined, for instance, we're not destined to be, quote, alcoholics.
Yeah.
Because our dad is or a mom is, mm-hmm. unless we turn on those genes. Now, obviously, if we drink alcohol daily and we sit on our butts and watch sitcoms and we do all the things that our parents did, then, yeah, we're probably going to be the same thing they did, because we learn from our parents, from our brothers, sisters, teachers, preachers.
Yeah, all of course. Yeah.
Train us. So we can change that. So part of what we do, Bruce Lipton is one of our instructors at Quantum University. So we bring him out all the time. And he wrote.
Oh, he's great. I've heard many talks.
Yes. And when he talked about in biology of belief, that we can change those expressions based on the thoughts we think. So we use in words, we know we can change 2,300 different gene expressions. That's why affirmations work. You know, when somebody's doing that, the problem is that some studies will say 80% of what we say to ourselves all day long is negative.
Oh, that's so true. Absolutely.
So we need to change that tape loop. I mean, just think about it. What if we could change it to 80-20, where the 80% was positive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you're going to become an optimistic force. And in a, what I call the quantum sea of possibility, we turn on those genes that bring our best selves into the experience instead of leaving it to chance.
So this is almost some of the science between people like the law of attraction type of ideas. It's really affecting, it's really mind is creating matter, which is incredible that there's actually science behind this now.
Well, they now know that there is no us until we have an observer effect. I mean, it's hard for them to wrap their eyes around it, because the deeper they go down the rabbit hole, the more they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, on the physical level, we have Newtonian laws and we know how those work, but we don't know what happens beneath all those Newtonian laws. It seems like there's a whole nother world of quirks and in all.
Yeah, I remember Intro to Quantum in college, and that's when physics really took a whole different view for me, because I didn't realize the world is not what we see, literally. I mean, classical is just the big stuff, you know.
Right. Even in the laws, even in psychology, they have now seen where people have split personalities. In one personality, the person will have diabetes, while they're in the other personality, they don't.
What? Like, literally the body doesn't have diabetes?
There's actually been documentation where in one state of being, the person had a scar and the other, they didn't.
I mean, that's incredible.
So what we think we know is not what we think we know. And I think what we're seeing here is now we're seeing that there can be a change, and through technology, we can have a very impactful and positive change to our biology. If we use the right frequencies, there's something called solfeggio frequencies. Dr. Noget had 7 frequencies, and he used to do something called iridology. Mm-hmm. And he would put these sounds into the ears. Our ears will interpret or bring into our awareness 25,000 pieces of information every second. But we usually only act on about 50 of those. So let's imagine we're having dinner together and we're talking away and we're having a conversation. Then somebody a few tables over says something about health that we're both involved with. even though we didn't hear any other part of that conversation, we would hear that.
Mm-hmm.
That's called our reticular activating system, or our default mode network, because it's always observing things. So what we have to do is we have to give different unique signals that have a response at the deep core of the brain, what we call the primitive brain, to get the limbic brain to take notice of that. That's what we're doing with the different sounds.
Yeah.
And then the brain shifts. With our sight, for instance, at a live event, you've probably been to one before where you couldn't hear the speaker, but then you adjusted your line of sight so you could see the speaker, then you could hear them. Most people don't know
that. That's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
Our vision controls 30% of our hearing.
Yep.
So when people talk about why do we use retinal flashing, we want to keep 100% of the brain active. As soon as you close your eyes to meditate, typically what happens is almost 50% of your brain goes to sleep, because we process so much more through the vision signals through the brain. So if we can keep that wiring and firing going, what's called Hebb's Law, then we can learn faster, we can learn better, we can go into what's called a super learning state. And those super learning states we've known about for a long time with something called the Mozart effect.
Okay.
What they proved was, if you and I were sitting in school, don't teach us anything different, we just put on Mozart classical music, we would be smarter. Just by having that music in the background, they've proven this with science, because we live in a synchronized universe.
Yeah.
And I always encourage people on YouTube. There's a lot of crazy stuff on YouTube. You watch a lot of cat videos, but you can also go there and see some real science. There's one that they call the synchronizing metronomes.
Okay.
They have 200 metronomes. They started them all at different times. Within 3 to 4 minutes, they're all synchronized.
I have seen that. That was amazing. I think I saw something similar with bowling balls in a field or something crazy.
And also they've done it with clocks, with the old time clocks.
Yeah.
And what we found is we do the same thing with our brain. It takes 3 to 4 minutes in every person's brain that we've had, unless they have something organically wrong with it, will synchronize. A coherent brain means that when you think of a memory, a lot of people think, I'm going to go back to my filing cabinet in my brain and get this memory, and it's all going to be there intact. That's not the way the brain works at all.
Yeah.
If I asked you to remember the first girl that you ever kissed, you're going to go to no less than 8 places in your brain to get that data.
Really?
And then it's going to be reassembled in your mind. That's why they call it the representational system. You're going to represent it to yourself in the field in your brain, and you're going to remember it. Now, depending upon the perfume she wore or didn't wear, or the way her lips felt, all of those things, all that information has come in. Now, let's say that you're now 90 years old and you're suffering some form of mild dementia. The problem isn't that you don't remember that first kiss. The problem is you can't represent it. You can't bring it back. You can't recall it.
Oh.
Your brain remembers everything 100%. Because in neuroscience, we could open up the brain and touch you with different probes. You'd have full sensory memories of things you think were not even worth your time memorizing them. Because our brain, through our biological senses, is recording and encoding everything into our awareness. But just like our eyes, when we're seeing the world, our eyes bring in 2,000 pieces of information. We only act on 40. So our brain is basically filtering out what's most important, what's meaningful, what's dangerous, what's safe. And so what we've done is we said, what if we presented a novel concept like flashing light?
Yeah.
With your eyes closed, mixed with sound and frequency. These are things the brain loves, and the brain loves patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to guide it through. We're going to imitate nature, taking it through a cycle of sleep. And the brain is going to do this willingly because it wants to feel good. Our body, we crave feeling good. We also crave getting outside of our stress. You know, they did a study because of a farmer actually reported that there were horses on his land that would guard these fermented apples from other horses so they wouldn't steal them. So they could go over there every once in a while and eat a fermented apple and get drunk. These were horses. So almost every biological system has a need to get outside itself, you know, to find a way to get outside of its everyday stresses and that.
Now that's interesting.
We can do that through, you know, narcotics and different drugs and things like that. But we can also do it through our own biology. You know, our brain is the most powerful pharmacy on earth. So if we can trigger it, we can get it to release and get outside of ourselves. So that stress, what I talked about at the very beginning, that neurological lock, we can unlock it And that's really what we're looking for, a sustained way of doing it. So instead of us going from stress event to stress event to stress event to stress event, yeah. we can have those periods of recovery, because it's the recovery that our body craves. And if we don't get that recovery, if we're just constantly living our life with chronic low-level stress, eventually our biological system will wear out. You know, we'll have adrenal fatigue, our kidneys will go, our heart will go. All of these things will wear out. But if we use our electrical system, which is why doing like yoga, Tai Chi, those kind of things, breathing techniques, yeah. why it's so powerful, is because we're activating our parasympathetic system. We're getting out of that neurological lock in the sympathetic system.
I'm just curious, because I've read a book about grounding, like physical grounding, and I have these grounding sheets. Does that actually do anything similar? Because you're kind of connecting yourself.
Lynn Oper, who wrote the book Earthing, is a good friend of mine. Yeah. And he's a great guy. And what we do, we actually do this here. We have it down at our booth right now. We have one of the grounding pads.
Yeah.
And we show people how, if our bodies are designed to be on the earth, not in rubber-soled shoes like you read about in the book.
Exactly.
I sleep on grounding sheets. But what we show people is that you're collecting energy all day. So what we show is we go to the place in the hall here or in somebody's home that has a lot of electricity flowing. Our mm-hmm. bodies will collect that information, but it's not good for us usually. So it's interfering with the electrical signals of our body. But yeah. if we're on the earth or we're grounded, we're grounding those. Now we have that. We should have what's called a zero or null point energy field. That sounds like it has no energy, but it's absolute power.
Yeah.
It's a lot of energy, a lot of power. So what we show is that we have people measure themselves with resistance and impedance, and they can see the electrical charge they're holding.
Yeah.
You could have zero, right? Most people are walking around with a 3-volt charge.
Okay.
And it's not good. So that's then, but as soon as we have them hold on to that, but then ground themselves,
yeah.
they become zero again.
So does it really have, it claims to have a positive effect on inflammation, which is the main reason I got it. Does the brain tap device also help with inflammation in the body, and how?
Yeah. Clint Oper is a user. Their whole team is using, they're all brain tap users, and we talk about it. We had them on our summit as well. But also there's a guy named Dan DeBond who wrote the book Radiation Nation.
Yeah.
And he says brain tap is the first line of defense for radiation poisoning from electromagnetic fields, because when your brain's balanced, you're naturally grounding. Now, you can't do it all the time, but you can if you have a grounding mat. Like at my office, I have a grounding mat under my computer.
Yeah, I have one under my keyboard. Just, yeah, you know,
exactly.
It's no problem. It's just there.
If you can ground every once in a while, walk outside. I have moccasins at home that are a natural material that I can walk outside yep. and be grounded to the earth.
Interesting.
It's very powerful. So if we can, what we do is we have grounding chairs that people do the brain tap in at the clinics. We
yeah.
recommend that they have a mat. It doesn't have to be a big mat. It can just be a small mat that they put their hands on even. And it's going to ground that energy so they get a better response. So many people are scared of things like Bluetooth, but Bluetooth is actually not that bad. Your Wi-Fi in your home is 18 times worse than Bluetooth.
I could see that. What is your feeling about 5G? A lot of people are concerned about that.
They're all frequencies that you have to ground yourself. We did an experiment with somebody by a 5G tower, and they had up to 6 volts of energy while they were standing there.
Yeah.
But as soon as they stepped out of their shoes and just sat on the earth, they had zero again. So grounding is even more important if you live near one of these towers.
I can imagine that.
Think about it. Our bodies have not evolved much since being chased by saber-toothed tigers. You know, it's still the yeah. same biological system. So now we're introducing all these different frequencies. It's not that our body can't handle them. It's never seen them before. It's like, what do I do with all this information? We're used to the magnetic spectrum from our sun.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if we're not sleeping well, or even with the light from our sun, the radiation that comes from our own sun, it actually is triggering our biological system. So
yeah.
if we don't get to sleep by 10 o'clock, we're not producing as much melatonin in our system. We produce the most melatonin between the hours of 10 at night and 4 in the morning, wherever you're at in the world.
Wow.
So they say if you don't go to sleep by 12, you don't produce as much. And so think of melatonin like a brain cleaner. Without melatonin, we can't clean our brain. So that's why it's necessary.
So how is a brain tap device? Has it helped you fall asleep faster, or it's giving you just better sleep because you're going through these cycles really quickly?
What happens is that when you offload the stress,
So we've all had the experience where we're ready for bed, we're heading for bed, and then somebody pings us and we make the mistake of looking down at the text or the yeah. news report, and then it can upset us a little bit, right? So then we go, but we got to get to sleep. So we lay in bed tossing and turning, and yeah. we're not going to get the same amount of sleep, right? So if we prepare ourselves for sleep, like turning off our cell phones at a certain time, saying, hey, I don't answer unless it's an absolute emergency, I'm not going to answer the phones or whatever, and we get to sleep, that we need that progression. Like I was talking about before, we need that time. So what BrainTap does, especially at night, is it offloads that stress. Think of your body like a capacitor.
Yeah.
An electronic circuit, a capacitor holds a charge and then it discharges. And most people, they don't know how to discharge. So they drink alcohol or they do things that aren't so good for our body.
Oh, you know, I'm a classic overeater at night, which I'm sure is related to stress. Absolutely.
Right. So, but if you have healthy ways to do that, like breathing techniques, maybe reading a good book that doesn't include looking at your tablets and things like that.
Yeah.
Some people take baths, like you do a detox bath right before sleep. Those are all things you're going to set yourself up for sleeping deep. Now, because people don't want to do that, brain tapping, just press play. It's going to guide their brain through like sitting by the fire
yeah.
before you go to sleep. And you're going to be dropped off in Delta. So that's it's going amazing. To train the brain to work. Yeah. Most people that we scan, and we have technology where we can scan your biological system and say, hey, here's what you're at now and here's where you're at afterwards. Mm-hmm. We find that most people are actually in over 60% Delta activity. That means they have that high inflammation you're talking about with Clint Oprah's book, Earthing, where he talks about that.
Yeah.
Because not only the foods we eat, but the technology we're bombarded with. Right now, if you think about the lighting systems we have in our home, 100 years, 150 years ago before technology, the average person slept 12 hours.
12 today, hours, really?
The average person sleeps less than six. So mm-hmm. what we're doing is you can get the equivalency of almost 4 hours of sleep in 20 minutes with a brain tap, where you get that much energy.
So one that's about how long it is? It's about a 20-minute session? It's equivalent of 4 hours of sleep. Wow.
So we don't want you to replace your sleep because the government kind of figured out how much sleep we really need.
Yeah.
And they say we need 4 hours of sleep, but what we really need, it's not about time. We really need about 1 hour of deep sleep and 2.5 hours of REM sleep.
Yeah.
Everything else is almost not even needed because that's how we offload that stress.
Yes.
When we build up that stress, we need a way to discharge it.
So would this help with jet lag? If you have a big meeting the next day?
One study we did with a study with pilots leaving San Francisco to China over 7 time zones. And the airlines knows that it takes about 3 days for their nervous system to go back to normal.
3 days.
Every time you cross over those time zones. So what we did is we had people do, it was an older piece of equipment, but let's just call it brain tap for being simple here. We had them listen while they're on the airplane, listen when they landed, the same neurological test they could do. They were now ready to fly back in 4 hours. Now, they didn't fly back in 4 hours because they weren't going to take our word for it that their biological system was there. But now those same pilots, the whole reason we did the study was, unfortunately, pilots will use alcohol to go to sleep or they'll use other substances. And now they're supposed to fly in a few days. That's probably the worst thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Alcohol doesn't help you sleep. I mean, it helps you pass out, but it doesn't help you really get the sleep you need. Mm-hmm. Your body, first of all, has to metabolize all that alcohol. Then you get to sleep. So, but if we could do it naturally by using the electrical system, which is that sympathetic parasympathetic drive that we have, if we can turn off that survivor brain and turn on that thriving brain, now the body can heal itself and get back. Because really what we're doing is we're saying, let's tune in. If you're in India, let's say, or you're in France, or you're in LA, or you're in Florida, really we're tuned to the light of the sun there. It's telling our body what to do. That the light frequency is telling our body what to do. We just have grown so accustomed to it, we think we're doing it, but we've messed up that biological clock because we have all these different lights that are going on. And we have TVs that have 250 stations. I mean, when I grew up, I used to watch the Star Spangled Banner. That was kind of a rite of passage. You'd sit it till 1 o'clock and the TV station went off. Now the TV never turns off. It's a 24-hour news cycle.
Absolutely. And then we have access to a zillion different types of media all the time. Yeah, we're just surrounded. So can you possibly, you could use BrainTap for so many things. Could it possibly help with addiction if you're kind of using alcohol in the wrong way, and then you can use it to replace what you're getting from it?
We have a whole series for addiction, one specifically for alcohol, then we have it for other addictions. One of our groups that's in Provo, Utah, that's a DO group, they do addiction therapy, and they actually do IV therapy at the same time. And what they found out was when they use BrainTap at the time they're doing the intravenous therapy with the nutrition, that they get 30% more absorption of that nutrition into the body. So if you
30%,
think about it, you could be, yeah.
Okay.
So you could have the world's greatest supplements.
Yeah.
But if you're stressed out, your body's probably not absorbing them because the digestive system is offline. As long as you're stressed out, you're not, your body's going to say, we don't need to digest food because there's a tiger chasing us. You know, we need to get the heck out of here. But
yeah.
When we're relaxed, that's why it's so important when we eat to, if we pray or just settle down, do some breathing, whatever we need to do. But it's been shown, Virginia's Hunt, who was a professor at Cal Berkeley, actually proved that when we pray before we eat, we metabolize and digest the food better. We have better food absorption. So that's where I got the thought about doing the study about what happens when these people are doing this IV therapy at the same time while doing BrainTap.
Yeah.
So we want the nutrients in our body. That's why a lot of people are nutritionally starved, even if they're taking nutrition, because they're so stressed out, the body's not metabolizing and digesting that nutrient.
I never heard of that. That is fascinating. It sounds like it's also a really good candidate to help with the opioid epidemic, because you have drugs on the one side, but you also have pain relief that it can help with as well. So it kind of is attacking it from both sides.
Yeah. One of our groups, we actually have 11 different major universities that are MIT caliber working with us. Duke is one of them. We're in two classes at Duke this year.
Yeah.
But in the in India, there's a group called the All Indian Institute of Medical Sciences. They have 5 campuses. And they're doing pain studies for that reason, for the opioid addiction, because it's not just an American thing. It's all over the world. People are becoming addicted to these. And it's really the morphine receptors or the opioid receptors in our brain. We can trigger those in the same way that we have a whole group that's doing with the psilocybin, the mushroom, the psychedelic mushroom. We
yeah.
created gamma sessions, and they're mimicking that experience. And in Brazil, the Brazilian
that's
government
amazing.
Is actually using BrainTap in studies there. They actually put $200,000 into a study where they're considering BrainTap a digital drug. Now, we don't have any drugs. We don't dispense them. But our own brain's nootropics, we can trigger those through light, sound, and vibration. If you tell me what that nootropic's doing to the brain, I can encode a session that will trigger that.
And I mean, it sounds like light, sound, vibration is the future of medicine. That's kind of something in the back of my mind always felt like might be true, but it's great to hear the science behind it is really.
Well, I think too, with lasers, we're going to see a lot more with all light therapy. You know, yeah. we're using it for brain health, but light therapy does wonders all over the body. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot of things that it can do. We have a dementia study that we did the pilot study on.
Yeah.
That is blowing people away. And we have Seminole College down here in Florida has already done an IRB, which means we've got approved by their ethics committee to do a full study with. And what we did in our pilot studies, we took people who were 55 plus who were onset dementia. The doctors tested them. They scored out. They had dementia. We did the Cambridge Sciences, which is one of our partners. They did the studies online, you know, the cognitive study test. Yeah, they mm-hmm. had dementia. We measured their brain. We did brain mapping. And what we found out, overall, every person had a slower left hemisphere over their right hemisphere. Remember I said about the memories coming in?
Yeah.
If it's even off a nanosecond, it will cause stress, frustration, anxiety, because the information isn't delivered. It's like being between two stations and driving through Texas, and you can't hear either station.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So that's what the brain's doing to the elderly people that had this brain. 6-week study, we had them do brain tap in the morning, which we call digital coffee. We have SMR training, which is a brainwave call for sensory motor rhythms. It's for balance and stability and cognitive thinking. We had them do that in the morning, 10 minutes. We had them do a 20-minute reboot session in the afternoon, which helped them to regain 80% of their energy. And then at night, we had them do a delta session, which was put them to sleep.
Yeah.
They had to do that consistently for 6 weeks. At the end of 6 weeks, they went back to their doctor. Their doctor said, you know what? If you came to me 6 weeks ago, I would have said that you don't have dementia, but I've already diagnosed you. And there's no cure for dementia.
Absolutely.
Right. There's no medical cure. So yeah. they still have dementia, but they have no symptoms. We had them do
all the cognitive
skills. Right. We had them do the cognitive skills test with Cambridge Sciences. They no longer were on the spectrum. They were no longer dementia candidates. We then measured their brain. The reason we did 6 weeks is we were measuring their brain along the way. And that's when their brain became coherent. It became balanced and maintained within a 1 week period. So now their brain is balanced. They don't have any of the symptoms anymore. That's the pilot study. It was so great. Now Duke wants to do it as well, but we got the group down in Seminole College in Florida. They're going to do it now with 30 adults, and we'll have a real science. And we're going to use a product of a technology called WAVI, W-A-V-I, which actually measures brain function over time. And the neat thing was, in the study, we were able to show that they got 49% across the board, 49% more neuroplasticity. Think of that like brain speed, like a computer speed. Yeah. You know, we get a new laptop, we want it to be faster and more efficient. Their brains were 49% more efficient.
49%? That's incredible.
We're hoping that we get the same. During May, we did a project for the National Institute of Health. They have an integrative health conference, which is the largest in the world. This year, of course, it was online because we didn't do it in person. But they had me present a paper. We did 100 people, 50 men, 50 women, no meditation experience. We measured them with our HRV. We have nine parameters we can measure. One is a stress index. And we did before and afters. And the reason they had us do it is we had a 38.5% decrease in stress in the stress index. All they did was take a 20-minute nap with a brain tap. But over the 9 different parameters we measured, which were heart rate, variability, and all of those things, we had a 27.3% improvement in neurological function. And we proved out if they were to do brain tap 3 times a week in 6 weeks, that became their neurological norm, which meant they moved their baseline by 27.3% in 6 weeks. And so I think we're now getting science. We're now, and that's what got our university partners excited, because we showed them first with our technology.
Yeah.
Now we're going to use blood tests and all the things they're used to, just the same way they would test a drug. We're going to do it the same way. And I think we're really confident we're going to come out of the other end and show that we can trigger those nootropics. That, and you don't have to be a guru. They've already proven that these Buddhist monks can do it. But I am convinced that we can take Miss O'Grady and Fred, and they can do the same things and have no experience, because the body does this individually. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to know something smarter. You simply have to be exposed to the technology, and your body mirrors that.
Because it's the body's inner knowledge. It happens whether you understand why it's happening or not. That's incredible.
Right.
And so
the thing, it doesn't take
dementia patients. It's not a chemical. And I'm assuming the 3 different sessions they went through, these programs are available right now. Someone could just do it now and just give it a shot.
They can go online to braintap.pro, P-R-O, and then get 30 days on our app for 99 cents. And they get a copy of my book.
Oh, awesome.
Drive and Overdrive. So they can learn about the science as well, and how they can overcome the stress. We believe we're having a neurological epidemic, and we call it it's sympathetic survival syndrome is what we're calling it, because people have this low level chronic stress. It's almost like that movie where he says, "I see dead people and they don't know they're dead." We have stressed people and they don't know they're stressed.
Oh, absolutely. Even when they're especially, it's just, you'd have to almost live in a cave in the mountains not to be exposed to it. I mean, you can either deal with it or you can't, but we're all exposed to it. There's no escaping it.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about even our election, when we have every state reporting over 100% of the people that are supposed to vote are voting, some states have voted 125%. How is that possible? That's pretty stressful.
Yes. You know,
it's not possible. So there's something going on there. Some funny business. And, you know, we have no control. We're going to, whatever happens, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But it's like we're sitting back looking at this carnival, and it's, you know, and we're out of control here.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Porter, this has been amazing. Is there anything else you want to tell anyone about BrainTap, how they can get it? Any other information we haven't covered?
I think starting there at braintap.pro is probably good. Yeah. But the one thing I want to tell you is you can improve your brain function at any age. We've actually shown improvement with somebody who's 104 years old.
104 years old.
You do not have to, don't wait. It's always better to start early, you know, but you can start now doing something. And stress is the biggest factor. I mean, we've known about this since the 70s. the National Institute of Health said that 97% of all health is exacerbated or made worse through stress. Absolutely. So let's minimize the stress and get our body, the innate intelligence of our body knows what to do. Let's get out of the way and let it do its work. And we will be much happier, healthier, and live the kind of, our best self will show up and be present and accounted for.
Great message. Thank you so much for being on the show. Have a great time at the conference, and I hope to speak to you soon.
Thank you. It's been great being here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Dr. Porter, for being on our show. We learned a ton in this OrthoThrive episode. We learned how light, sound, and vibration can have significant impact on your body, your mental state. I was so surprised on what kind of impact it can really have. To be honest with you, I really think it's the future of medicine. I know that's a huge statement, but if you haven't listened to all this episode or you're just kind of listening to it in your car, listen to it again. Take notes. I think it can change your life. You guys keep grinding, keep thriving, and I'll see you next time.